Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work. Hey there, and welcome back to the show. I am sitting down once again with Mr. Chris Lemon, and we have another awesome conversation for you today to help you be a more effective store builder and grow your independent practice or grow your e-commerce focused agency. So today's conversation is all around branding and positioning for store builders. We're going to talk about how 99% of the store builders out there are probably saying the same thing. They're probably approaching their work as a generalist, and we are here to advocate for specializing in a particular service or area so that you stand out from the crowd. So this is an important conversation that every store builder should have with themselves. But what we're talking about today is sharing some tips, tricks, and resources to help you take that step for your business and start narrowing in and focusing on a specific set of clients that you can close at a high rate, that you can serve at a high level, and as a result, grow your business and grow your revenue through that level of specialization. So I don't want to hold you back from these insights anymore. Let's get into my conversation with Chris, and I will be back on the other side to tie up any loose ends and tell you about what we're going to be talking about in future episodes. Let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Store Builders Podcast. My name is James Sowers and I'm your host. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Chris Lemma. Hey Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Excited about what we're going to be talking about today, which is all about branding and positioning for store builders. So for their practice, or if they're practicing as an individual, then your personal brand. But I think what we're here today to advocate for is if you are a jack of all trades, then you're a master of none. And if you're talking to everybody, then in summary, you're kind of talking to nobody. So what we're here today to talk to store builders about is how they can have a specific brand and position for their business that can actually help drive more business to their inbox or to their phone lines or however they're accepting prospects. So maybe to open up, Chris, what would you say is the approach that 99% of store builders take when it comes to branding and positioning their services?
They say yes to everything. They say they can do anything. They say, sure, it can be done. And in reality, they do it with less nuance, right? So if you come up to me and you're like, hey, I want to build a store that combines both online and offline, you know, retail and online sales, I want a single piece of inventory to manage it. I'd love to get multiple channels out there too. So maybe an Amazon or an eBay. Yep, sure. You didn't even ask any questions, right? Like, I just want to know if you can do, yeah, absolutely, right? Because people are often, you know, feast or famine, you got, you know, lots of work or no work, you end up saying yes a lot, right? Instead of learning to say no a lot more, right? And saying, no, hold on, let me ask you a couple questions. And the thing to understand is that most of the time, the person who's asking doesn't even know if what they're asking is easy or hard, is simple or complex. They don't have a clue, but they may have called more than just you, right? They may have called three people. And the first two calls went something like, I would like to do blah, blah, blah. And the person says, no, there's no way you can do that. I mean, unless you have all the money in the world, there's no way you can do it. The second person says, sure, but you know, let me ask you a couple of questions. You may want to move this into phases because some of this stuff is more complicated than others. And I don't know what your budget is, but you may want to tackle A before B and B before C. But let me ask you a couple of questions, right? And then they get to you and you're like, yeah, sure. And they're like, wow, I got a yes, I got a no, and I got a maybe so. Like, how do I know how to do this? But if you think about your own experience, right? If you think about your own track record buying any service where there's a specialty, right? Where you go, hey, my car has broken down. And the guy says, okay, well, what kind of car, what year, what make, what model? And they dig into it and they go, ah, did you have this happen before it went bad, right? Did you start noticing this? Did you start it's computer repairs, or you're going to a sports medicine doctor, right? Because your knee is bad. And they says, let me ask you a question. Did this start happening before you felt this sharp pain, right? You go to a dentist and you're like, ah, I was feeling this. They're like, did this happen? It's magical when someone can predict what you haven't yet told them because they're an expert, right? Because they know the signs in that space of what they're good at, right? And you immediately feel way more trusting and more comfortable because, wow, this person gets it. They know what I'm talking about, which is totally different than if you go, hey, I've been having this toothache. And they're like, sure, no problem. Just come in. We can take care of it. And you're like, but I didn't even finish my story, right? My car broke down. No problem. We got it. We can slot you in today. Yeah, but you don't even know what I have. Well, it'll be done on tomorrow. How do you know? Like, what if we're rebuilding an engine, right? Like, when we say yes too quickly and when we say yes generically, right? What we're also saying is, I don't really know. And just trust me. And people go, no, we're past that. I'm past the days of just trusting anyone who said yes. Now I'm highly skeptical, right? And so in order to win, right, when 99% of people are just going into the just pure no or pure yes, right, you want to play in the qualified expert space, right? Which means ask some questions, make some predictions. And when those people start nodding their head ridiculously, like, oh my, yes, yes, yeah, then you know, okay, we're in a good spot. I know what situation you're in. You know that I know what situation you're in. Now let's talk about the next step.
What I hear when you're talking about that is there's a natural tendency to say yes to everything because we're in a client service industry. That's what we do. Like, that's how we make our living. And so when a client comes to you, let's say you're already in an engagement and they're asking for additional services or additional features built into their store, you know, we call that scope creep, but we all know that we're kind of predisposed to say, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, well, let's just go ahead and layer that in, no additional cost. And then all of a sudden, after three or four of those, you realize, like, whoa, the profitability of this project has been blown out of the water because I just agreed to everything. So we catch ourselves doing this in other areas of life. So positioning and branding and your professional stance that you take is no exception. And so I think even though that's a natural tendency that we have as people who are in the client service industry, it's important to push back against that and take a more consultative approach and have a more differentiated positioning. So, you know, part of it is building that trust and authority by saying, hold on a minute, let me ask some questions. Let me make sure that this is really something that I should be solving for you. And we have a clear understanding of the problem. But what are some of the other reasons that it's important to separate yourself from the people that will take anything that comes across their desk and start to focus on a specific industry or niche or ideal customer or problem, something like that? What is that specialization justification in your mind?
So I think when you specialize, you get two benefits, right? Number one is you go deeper. And because you go deeper, you know where the traps are, you know where the challenges are. And because you're deeper and you know those things, you don't lose your shirt on silly estimates that don't have a chance of being accurate, right? If you come to me and you want to know about a membership site, given that I've built so many membership sites, I know exactly which questions to ask you. And I know that if I don't ask you this now and I give you a quote and then later you're like, but I just thought it would have this and I got to go foot the bill, I'm going to lose my shirt. So I know which question to ask, but that comes out of experience, right? And so the benefit of specialization is that I don't lose my shirt in silly places simply because I didn't know that there was a problem there. But the second dynamic, right, is by being able in that conversation with a customer to make certain predictions. Let me guess, you're also seeing this. You're probably seeing this. And you may have even been experiencing this. And they say yes, right? They know right away that I know their space. They know that I'm an expert in their space. So I can charge what I'm worth because they realize they're talking to a specialist and not a generalist, right? And that's another huge benefit. I have literally gone head to head with someone, right, on an e-commerce project where I say it's $50,000. I'm just sorry. There's no way to get around given the integrations you want, given the code you want, given the customizations you want, given the style and look you want. You can go pick someone else. I'm just telling you, if they tell you it's cheaper, it's going to take you longer and they're going to end up adding scope, realizing that they didn't know what they were talking about at the beginning, right? And the client even sent me one of their quotes, right? And so you read the quote and you're like, I know exactly where they missed it, right? Like they didn't realize this. One of those classics, which I think we've talked about before, is migration, right? You forget because you're sitting here so excited about building a store, you forget you have to migrate data over. And so I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh, there's no migration fee, right? So you're not even comparing apples to oranges. And I'm telling you, when you start looking at that data set to migrate it, it's going to, you know, and so I said, this is fine, right? It's totally fine. Go with them, go with whoever. Like I am totally comfortable walking away from this deal because I believe that the project is worth this in terms of your payment. And I know what you're going to have to do to get there. They said, well, you know what, before we choose, we're going to have one more call with them, right? So they go call back and they go, hey, you know, we were talking to another vendor and we don't see this in yours. We don't see this in yours. We don't see this in yours. And the vendor went and added all those things up and suddenly got to like, you know, I don't know, 45,000. The customer came back and said, no, I'll go with you, right? Even though you were more expensive than them, but you were more expensive than them originally, and you're still more expensive than them now, but you knew what to look for. And I had to tell them what to put in my quote, right? So the more you specialize, the more you understand the nuance, not only the better will you not lose your shirt, right? But you will be able to garner a better price point because you're, you know, the right kind of customer will immediately understand you're a specialist and you get it.
Yeah. And I love that sales aspect that you took there, because we talked about in a previous episode when we talked about copywriting is if you can proactively address the objections of the people reading your sales page, then they think that you're reading their mind and your conversion rate is going to go up. So you're kind of doing the same thing there where you know the challenges that your potential client is going to face and the things that other vendors are missing before they even do. And so when you introduce that, that's an instant trust and credibility booster right there. And that's going to improve your close rate on those new clients. So I do love that angle there. So let's say, you know, somebody's bought in and they're saying like, I love what you're saying. If I specialize, then that builds instant trust and authority that helps me charge a premium for my services because I'm an expert, not a generalist. So what is the recipe for a store builder who's like, all right, right now I'm taking everybody that comes across my desk and I'm serving them in any way that they need, but I'd love to take the first step towards specialization and focusing in on a target niche. So what is the recipe? What are the different ingredients that go into like finding what that right fit is and positioning your store builder consultancy in the way that is best for the market that you like to play in?
So one of the things you have to do, right, is understand the playground that you're in, right? I mean, that's one of the other benefits of specialization, right, is speed, right? The more you know in that space, the faster you can go. But remember that your speed is not what the customer cares about. That's good for you and your profit, but the customer wants information. They want knowledge. They want to make sure they don't pay a second and a third time for your foibles, right? Your mistakes. So let's say that you want to specialize in Shopify stores, right? And you were like, okay, this is what I want to do. Well, here's what we know. If a customer signs up with a Shopify store and then they want upsells or they want exit intent opt-in, you know, pop-ups, they're going to have to pick another feature, another plugin, another extension to roll into their service and pay monthly for it. And that's fine. That is what it is. But how do they pick? Right? I mean, they type upsells or they type pop-up or exit intent or something, and they get a page full of marketplace options. And they go, I don't know how to pick, right? And that's where you become useful, right? If you specialize in Shopify and you specialize in the 3, 4, 5 most common features people buy, the add-ons that they're going to want on their store, you should be able to say, hey, by the way, I know you're going to spin up your Shopify store. Please, here's a list. If you want any of these features, here's a list of ones to go buy. And they go, oh, thank God, because I was looking and I just didn't know what to pick, right? If you're going to specialize, the first thing you can do is get into the recommendation business, right? Because to the customer who's looking at 20, 50, 100, 1,000 options, and you go, whoop, here it is. This is the one you want, or these are one of two, depending on how you answer this question. You've now saved them time and money, energy, and potentially picking the wrong one, turning around, having to come back, pick the right one, start all over again, right? So the first area of specialty, right, is when you understand the playground, when you understand the options that are available, and you can create a map between those and what a customer wants, you'll be in a very good spot to develop that trust and that expertise for someone. So understanding the playground you're in and understanding how to make a good recommendation, that's the first step, right? The second step comes with the number of stores you've done and the nuances, right? The little things that people have wanted, right? The first kind of recommendation we're talking about, right, was the recommendation of a set of products, right? How do you pick which is the right product? But there's a second kind of recommendation that's the next tier, and that is your best practices, or at least your good practices, right? The ability to say, hey, you weren't thinking about this, you have not talked about this, but every customer I've worked with has implemented this and seen this benefit, and I would recommend it to you, right? So it's the second kind of recommendation, good or best practice, that is stuff they weren't thinking about, stuff they hadn't thought about. But because you're an expert in that space, you can add to it, right? So for example, if a customer is working with WooCommerce stores, right? Or a customer wants a WooCommerce store and I'm specializing in WooCommerce and someone says, oh, I was thinking about doing blah, 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 right? Wish list. I looked at this plugin, right? And I go, no, I wouldn't use that. Very poor performing. And here's why, right? They go, oh, you saved me. I go, now, what I will recommend is instead of doing this, I recommend that you want to do this with your upsells or this with your cross sells. And here's how I do it. And they go, and most of my customers have done this. And this becomes really useful to them. And they go, oh, this is great, right? So those are two areas of recommendation that almost immediately, right, set you up to be in a better place. And of course, what you can hear underlying all that is get to know a platform, right? Eventually, you might add a second platform and a third platform. And a lot of what you learn transfers, right? In terms of upsells and upsell strategy, the upsell strategy works on WooCommerce, on BigCommerce, on Shopify. It's not like you suddenly need a different upsell strategy, but learn how to do it well in one platform and learn how to do several other things well in one platform before you go to the second platform so that you're not, again, spread thin across, well, I'm sure there's a way we can figure it out. A way we can figure it out doesn't say that you're an expert, right? It doesn't say that you understand the lay of the land, right? So when I talk about playgrounds and recommendations, both product selection, but also best practices, it's because you've already also started thinking about specializing on a particular platform so that you can do the research and the work in that space.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the platform specialization is a natural first step for anybody to take. Just pick the one that you like the best or the one you have the most experience in and know everything about that environment and be the trusted expert and valued resource for that platform. I think there are possibly some other ways that somebody could target their specialization. I'm thinking maybe by industry or niche. So they might say, hey, we are the WooCommerce store developer for apparel companies. And that's what we do. Or we help brick and mortar businesses take their business online and start selling their products digitally or something like that. So I know that that's probably one of the examples, but are there any other ways that you might recommend somebody slice and dice kind of their positioning after they've picked a platform? We talked about industry or maybe budget or something like that, but what other ways can they kind of narrow their focus and kind of filter out even more of the not necessarily bad fit clients, but just not their favorite clients to work with or the ones that they can't serve the best?
When you start getting into a vertical strategy, right? The notion of a vertical market, whether it's clothing or automotive or electronics or whatever, you get to take your expertise to a whole nother level. Because now it's not just, okay, what are good practices in e-commerce and how this works? Now you're talking about, let me tell you how to, you know, drive sales when you're dealing with garments and fashion and at this price point, right? So you become, there's nuanced advice, right? And that nuance can be incredibly valuable to people, right? I mean, you think about, okay, how do you sell tennis shoes? And you're like, okay, let me walk you through how to think about this, right? It's incredible. Like if you go to underarmor.com, right? Under Armour is an athletic company. A lot of people know. Go buy a shoe, right? When you buy that shoe, you're going to see things that frankly, most e-commerce stores don't do, right? Like you go to Under Armour and you go buy a shoe. You're going to get a 360 of the shoe. Okay. A lot of people do that. You're going to get 5 or 8 more pictures of a shoe. Yeah. A lot of people do that. Okay. You're going to get the description and the price of the shoe. Yep. A lot of people do that. Then go a little further and look for your reviews, right? And notice that it's not just, you know, like an Amazon review where they're like, good shoe, bad shoe, like the shoe fits great. No, on the left in the metadata of the reviewer, it tells you the athletic ability of the reviewer, the sport that the reviewer is in, how often they exercise. I mean, it's an incredible amount of metadata. Why? Because if you're selling athletic gear, the review means only as much as the reviewer's context to you. If a guy who is a wrestler tells me that this shoe fell apart and isn't all that great, and I'm not a wrestler, I'm a runner, thank you, but I don't need to listen to that review at all, right? Whereas if a tennis player tells me this shoe, you know, is incredible under this kind of strain, and he is a pro-level athlete, and I am a junior-level tennis player, I go, oh, yeah, this is great, right? So, but that's not going to matter the same way if you're selling electronics, right? If you're selling electronics and the reviewer's like, I like this TV. You're like, cool, that's what I want to know, right? Not, I'm an electrician and I like this TV. You're like, I don't care. I don't care who you are. I just want to know about the TV and the viewability, right? How you sell garments, right? And how you think about what you do when you sell garments is different. But it's different because of the space you're in. And so you're developing, the whole time you're developing domain expertise, right? And if you develop domain expertise, you can do it just platform-wide, right? You can say, I'm an expert in this platform. And anything you want to do on this platform, I can do. Or you can go deep and go, I'm on this platform and I use this product on this platform and I only sell garments on this platform. And that's where I bring the most value. Well, your best practices are going to go further than the best practices of the first guy, right? Because your best practices may include now Instagram and whatever for fashion. It is not going to include Instagram if you're selling automotive parts, right? And so, again, domain expertise becomes really valuable as you want to take it to the next level. So we started with what do you do at the beginning? We jumped way to the other end, right? Which is if you really want to be an expert, then don't just be an expert in a specific platform with a specific set of tools, but also in a specific set of domains so that you can bring real best practice to that domain.
Yeah. And I think that the thing to emphasize there is that this is an evolution. It's not something that you have to do overnight. Like you said, that is one end of the spectrum where you have the platform and the industry or the niche, but you can start with just the platform. And then over time, as you get experience and as you kind of experiment with different things, then you can find your niche. And one thing that I'll make sure I throw in the show notes here, I actually saw an article from Jilt, which I know we talk about quite a good bit on this show. This is something that your clients are actually supposed to be doing for their business too. So this is about a company called Outdoor Voices, and they have a $100 million company for athletic wear that is designed for people that get their workouts in outside. So like you think like Muscle Beach or something like that, like where there's just pull-up bars or running trails or something like that. But these folks, this is the client side, but they have specialized. I mean, they're competing against Patagonia and Nike and Under Armour. And so that differentiating positioning statement for this company has been successful on the client side. And you can do the same thing as a store builder. But again, it doesn't have to happen overnight, which I think leads us into the last point we want to cover today, which is really, what are some of the common mistakes that store builders make when it comes to specializing or positioning? And I think we just touched on one of them, which is they try to go from generalist, I'll serve anybody, to I'm going to serve this really tiny little market that I haven't even validated yet. So I think jumping too far down the road is one of the common mistakes that are made. But do you have any others that come to the mind whenever we talk about how somebody can get tripped up when they're trying to specialize in business?
The most common error I've seen is not that they trip up in getting too specialized, is that they trip up in thinking that what they experienced once applies to all, right? What I generally tell people is do it for a particular vertical industry. I spent 8.5 years just building software that was very specific vertical market software, right? And really very specific markets too, right? So when you build software where you're like, I'm building it for public housing authorities, right? Or I'm building it for airports and other municipalities that are managing bonds, or you know, whatever you're doing, right? You go, oh yeah, you're all the same. And then you dig in and you go, no, you're not the same. You're all nuanced different. And then eventually after you do enough, you're like, okay, there's nuances, but you're mostly the same in these areas, right? It takes a while for you to get good at knowing what's transferable and what's not. So the faux pas, the mistake, is just assuming that because it worked for one garment website, it's going to work for all. Like, just do this and you're good. And you're like, no, back up, right? Different audiences, different segments, different, like selling to a high-end segment and selling to the low-end segment are more dramatic in their difference than selling automotive versus garment. The world shifts dramatically when you're selling to someone who spends $20,000 without blinking versus when someone spends $10, but you got to convince them, right? And you're like, whoa, that is a bigger deal than shifting between vertical markets, right? And so learning, you know, okay, am I really good at what segment, and how do I think about this, and how do I, you know, how do I approach this, and the more that I do, what am I learning from that? I think people end up getting really good when they can articulate, look, I work a lot with garment stores and I work in the mid-market. And by mid-market, I mean this. And if your store is in this space, I can help you. And then you go, okay, I like that. Yeah, my store is in that space. I need that help.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree. And I think that, you know, we covered a lot of important points today, but if somebody is still feeling reservations about specializing, they're worried about taking their broad net and narrowing it and leaving money on the table. You know, I think one of the other common mistakes is just because you specialize doesn't mean that you have to turn people away if they don't fit that mold necessarily. If you find yourself in a slow month and you need the work and you know that you can deliver on it, there's nothing that says that somebody that comes in as a cold prospect and is asking to do something slightly outside of your target market that you have to tell them no. You don't have to. I mean, this is something that is, like we said, an evolution, a spectrum. It merits experimentation and trying to find the right fit for you. So it's something that you can even take one step forward, figure out it's not the right step, take a step back and correct course. So it's not something you have to go all in on, but it is something that you should take a step toward today to improve the broader performance of your business. So I think that we covered a lot of interesting points today and a lot of informative points today. Chris, is there anything that you want to leave folks with before we head out?
It's always nerve-wracking to specialize and to potentially even walk away from something that isn't your specialty because it's going to distract you and get you focused somewhere else. It's always nerve-wracking, right? And yet almost every single person who is a specialist today has gone through that journey, right? So if you're sitting here going, I think I may, but I'm not sure I want to, and I'm nervous about it, talk to some people. Talk to some people who already did it. Right? Talk to some people who did it 20 years ago, talk to some people who did it last week, right? Or a year ago, right? And get some feedback on what was helpful for them. What did they learn? How did they approach it? What did they, you know, how much money did they have in the bank when they walked away from certain clients, right? So just talk to some people because a lot of people have been there, right? And you don't have to go this all alone. But I will tell you, it is the single best thing you can do to win clients over is to take a corner of the market. To sit in a space and say, this is my space, because other people will recommend you. Even your competitor today will recommend you because they'll say, oh, no, I don't go up market. I'm down here in the mid market. They're in the up market, go here. Or, well, I only work up market. You want mid market? Go to this person. And your own competitors will pass leads to you. And all of a sudden you're like, I'm not even spending money in marketing and this is working. But it's because everybody knows where you fit. Right? You can take a corner of their mind because you've taken a corner in the market. But if you don't take a corner and you're all over the place, nobody knows where you fit. Nobody can recommend.
Right. You're the nameless face in the crowd there. So I think what we're really trying to do at the end of the day is trigger that Rolodex moment. You want somebody to say, I know James built WooCommerce stores for fitness apparel companies, and he's the guy. If that's what you're looking to have done, then that's the one you want to call. So I love that last as a parting tip there, Chris. Thank you as always for your time today. And we'll look forward to talking to you in the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast. Have a great day.
Take care.
All right, folks. So there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma about branding and positioning for store builders and e-commerce agencies. I think that was another great talk. We covered a lot of information there. So I'll just briefly recap it. We talked about how most store builders take the same approach to positioning. In other words, they are going to take any client that comes across their desk. If you need an e-commerce store, we can help you. And we talked about why it's important to separate yourself from the pack by specializing in one particular area. So a couple of ideas we had around that were you could specialize around the platform, as in WooCommerce versus Shopify versus BigCommerce, or you could focus on an industry vertical, like we specialize in creating e-commerce stores for fitness apparel brands or something like that. But either way, you want to make sure that you have a specific compelling message that you're putting in front of clients so that they know, yes, this is the guy or gal that I want to work with. So we talked about those two options and we talked about the benefits of narrowing your focus. We talked about how that can help you serve your clients better, have a better client experience, as in clients who you enjoy working with more because you specialize in an area that you do like working in. And we talked about how that can have broader implications for the amount that you're allowed to charge or that you feel empowered to charge because you're now an expert, a specialist instead of a generalist. And we talked about how that can trigger a Rolodex moment in the minds of people in your professional network and your past clients so that they know exactly who to refer you to as a prospective client, and knowing and trusting that you are equipped to serve that person. So I think that this conversation was incredibly insightful. If you are a store builder who thinks that you might fall into that generalist category and you want to take the first step towards specializing, that is all it really has to be, is one step. You don't have to flip a light switch and have a very narrow focus tomorrow, but I would say at the very least, maybe choose a platform or maybe choose a specific industry that you want to focus on. Think about how that should impact your website copy and some of your marketing messages, and just test it out. And if it doesn't work, you can always walk it back and start over and try in a new vertical. But that, I think, is the best course of action to take today. If you do want to take the first step towards branding, positioning, and specializing your store builder practice, so I encourage you to go out and do that today. We also covered a lot of tools and resources today. So if you want a quick reference, a single click to get to each of those, check out the show notes. As always, we have them documented there. And as always, we appreciate you listening to the show, supporting the show. If you know another store builder or somebody who's just getting into e-commerce consulting that you think would be a good fit for the show, please forward this episode to them and let them know what you thought about the conversation we had today. So that's going to wrap it up for me. We'll look forward to seeing you in the next episode, where I'm sure that we'll have another great discussion topic all about store building, consulting, and growing your business. So we'll see you next.